Our Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a fortnight ago, if you can think back, a fortnight ago, and that Sunday and the Sunday before, I introduced the sermon series on the kingdom parables, all based around Matthew 13. And I've been encouraging you to go and read Matthew 13 regularly, like at least once a week or more often. Now, just to put it into its context again, in this series, about this series, Jesus is describing the character of the kingdom of God. Between his rejection, when they said, "We don't want your kingdom," and his return. Jesus is in effect describing the age of the church, the age we now live in. Jesus is still the king and his kingdom is here. However, the king has been rejected, but he will return to fully establish his prophesied kingdom. And this raises the following kinds of questions. What will this time be like? Will the gospel be preached? Will it be heard and believed? What will happen to the kingdom in this time of mystery? Remember, Jesus described this time as a mystery. And Jesus answers these questions in a series of seven parables. And today we look at the first of these parables. Now, there is a bit of a problem when it comes to looking at parables, because most of us have heard them. Yeah, most of us have heard them since we were in Sunday school, right? And of course they're an easy thing to teach because they're a story, because we like stories. And so we hear them again and again and again and again and again and again. And then we actually don't hear them, because familiarity has just simply meant that we just get some of it. So I'm going to encourage you to try and put aside all your preconceived past notions about these parables and all the familiarity of it, and seek indeed, pray, and I pray that you'll find something fresh in these stories. So it began. Jesus told many stories in the form of parables, such as this. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Now, Jesus has an amazing ability, hasn't he? To take the natural world and use it to teach spiritual truth. It begins about talking about and thinking about the known. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. This listener's new farming. And it was quite possible that as Jesus spoke that they could see a farmer out there in the distance working on his fields. The farmer would drape a seed bag over his shoulder and systematically scatter the seeds over the prepared ground. It's really interesting, as I was thinking about this, and particularly as I was saying at this point at the 9 o'clock service, I remember when we first came to Spring Creek. Dad was the vicar of Spring Creek down the road. And it was in time, I guess, for the centennial of Marlborough. And I can remember down, and it's the Taylor River, isn't it? It's the Taylor River that wanders through Blenheim, isn't it? That's right. Yeah, yeah. And on the corner that's, you know where the new theatre is, and you come towards the corner, you've got the clubs of Marlborough, and you keep coming to the bend. Well, down there they had this great centennial demonstration of acts and plays. And can anybody remember this? Am I the only one who remembers it? Anyway, one of the things that I do remember was that they had some people there pretending that they were being like the old farmers scattering the seed. I don't know what they had, sawdust in their bags, I suspect. And they were out there, and I can, as just a small boy, I don't know whether it had been six or seven, 8 year old, I can just remember that taking place. Is something we tend not to see, as farmers scattering seed. Some could. I worked for a guy who did occasionally scatter seed in odd places in that way. And in this story, Jesus points out that there were four kinds of soil that the seed landed on. Soil one, the path. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the pathway, and the birds came and ate them. Such paths were common. Indeed, if you were to go to Matthew 12, the previous chapter, you would there find Jesus and his disciples walking along such a pathway, and they were picking the grain, and they were rubbing in their hands and then eating it. So any seed landing on this path would never take root, and it was easy pickings for the birds. Soil two. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with an underlying rock. Seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun since they didn't have deep roots, and they died. Just beneath the soil, there was a layer of rock, a rock pan, as it were. And the roots have nowhere to go. The sun draws the young plants up quickly, but under the heat of the sun, they die for a lack of moisture. In soil 3, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. The soil looked good. It's deep, it's rich, it's cultivated. It looks clean and ready. And the seeds fall and germinate. So do the fibrous roots of the weeds. And the life is choked out of the new plants. Nothing unusual here. Weeds are natural to the soil. I was away, as you know, for a week. And a bit before that, I planted out my tomatoes in my tunnel. And when I left, it was pretty well weed-free. Come back a week later, yeah, well, the tomatoes might have grown, but guess what? There was a jolly harvest of other stuff there. Pestiferous things. You see, sowing the grain is foreign. It has to be carefully cultivated. The weeds just dominate and strangle and choke, cutting out the sun, soaking out the moisture. There's not enough room and the seeds die. In the fourth soil. So other seeds fell on fertile soil and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted. Now here is deep, soft, clean soil. It's soft, unlike the hard path. It's deep, unlike the stony ground. It's clean, unlike the weed-infested soil. And the seeds burst into life and it yields a tremendous harvest. Finally, Jesus simply says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now it's not until later in the chapter, indeed to verse 18, before we get an explanation of this parable. Remember, a parable unexplained is a riddle. And Jesus says to his disciples, hear therefore. He's already told everybody at the end of the parable, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In verse 16 he says, blessed are your ears, for they hear. In verse 18, listen for what I'm saying. In summary, Jesus is saying, you can hear this, so take advantage of the opportunity. Listen to what I am saying. You probably never said that to your children, did you? Of course, it was never said to you either, was it? Listen to what I'm saying. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, tune in. Put your ears on. Listen to what I'm saying. So who is the sower? Oh, none other than Jesus. He says so himself. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. And what is the seed? Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. The seed is the word. The seed is the message of the kingdom. It's God's revelation. It is the gospel. This parable is about preaching the gospel. Our God reigns. It's about preaching the word about the king and his kingdom. Jesus is the king and he's coming to bring a kingdom. And the soil is important to the story. It illustrates how people will respond to the gospel. Note that the problem is not the soil, but what has influenced the soil, the condition it is in. It all received the seed, but the results depends upon the condition of the person's heart. That's what Jesus is teaching. The result of the preaching of the gospel will depend on the condition of the heart and the mind of the hearer. Remember, Matthew is showing us that at this point in the life of Jesus, the King and the kingdom of God have been rejected. So what's going to happen? Jesus answers, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go out just like I did, and you're going to sow the seed, which is the word of God, and you're going to preach the same message about the same King and the same kingdom. So what is going to happen to this message? That depends on the condition of the hearer's heart and mind. So this story is about encouraging us and Jesus' disciples. Yes, there will be footpath soil. And you've got to know that. You've got to, otherwise you'll get disillusioned. And there will be stony soil. And there will be weedy soil. but there'll also be good soil that will bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. It is a parable to help his disciples to approach the ministry with excitement and anticipation that God is going to produce results. So what will happen? You will share the gospel and the message will go nowhere. The hearer is not responsive or attentive, perhaps unconcerned and indifferent and doesn't want anything to do with it. The message hits and bounces off. Such a person has been pounded by life experiences, opinions and prejudices, and are no longer sensitive towards the love and welcome of God. This is the heart that knows no repentance, knows no sorrow for sin and shame, knows no guilt, knows no concern over things that really matter. The mind is made up and just wants to be left alone. Then there are others who hear the same word, and at first they respond with warm affection. There's a good feeling and there's a lot of joy and they're alive and it's wonderful, but there's no substance. They don't really ever deal with the real issues. They jump on the Jesus bandwagon. It looks so good, but after a while, when the pressure comes and they are faced with the tough stuff or a crisis or some opposition, they fall off and they begin to walk away. In time, they are no longer found among the people of God. There was nothing wrong with the seed, nor the soil. It was everything else that is indigenous to that earth. Weeds flourish, it's their natural home, unfortunately. When you introduce the seed, that is a foreign element, and it has to be cared for and nurtured and cultivated, otherwise it won't survive. The ground's only got so much to give. There's only so much nourishment there. And if it's trying to support all the weeds, something is going to give. Nothing wrong with the sower, nothing wrong with the seed, nothing wrong with the soil. It's just the soil's condition. Now please listen to this. As we grow in God, we have to deal with the stuff that can occupy our attention and distract us from what God has called us to do and be. But there is good news, because Jesus goes on to say that the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Mark says, accepts it. Luke says, holds on to it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. This is all good. Lives are changed, and the generosity of God is seen clearly and wonderfully in the life of the one who understands it, accepts it, and holds on to it. This then is the climax of the parable. There really is good soil out there. What a wonderful promise. The ultimate mark of salvation is fruitfulness. This is the evidence of God. Paul puts it this way. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, self-control. In other words, you look at a life and when you see gentleness and goodness and faith and humility, self-control, love, joy and peace over the long term, then it is God and His kingdom at work. Now it's easy in the short term to produce any one of those in a passing moment. I mean, all of us can feel joyful and then 5 minutes later be jolly miserable. Now, it's like I was putting a CCTV system in for Dixie. And we're up there and all of a sudden, oh, what's that? Blinking paper wasp. I was joyful one moment, I wasn't feeling too joyful the next. It's something that can pass. It's not the short-term issue. The issue is the long-term. It's the character of Christ being formed in us over the long-term. Are these things that are forming there? We don't arrive at the end of the journey in the first few moments, as much as our kids might have liked it when we got in the car and headed off for wherever. There is a journey to be made. We're all on a journey. It interests me as I've watched, and because we're quite interested in human development and our giftedness and growing and all these things. We quite often, you know, almost behave as though you ought to be at the end of the road before you've begun. But there is always a journey to maturity. If you're not maturing today, then you're probably getting ready to push up the daisies. Because you never arrive at full maturity. So if somebody says to you, well, you're not mature, don't take it as a you know, as a criticism. Take it as an opportunity. Well, that's good. I'm still young enough to keep growing. I'm alive. See, it's something in the long term. We're always growing in these things. Sometimes I say in a funeral address that, you know, it's towards the end of a life that things take on the brighter colours. True. You think about autumn. The end of the season, the colours of the leaves become so much brighter. Maturity is a process. Paul points out that attitude and actions will show if the right kind of fruit is growing. You can go and see this in Colossians, Thessalonians and Philippians. He also tells us in Romans that fruit is winning people to Jesus Christ. He says, I want to come and have some fruit among you as I've had in other places. Fruit is God producing spiritual reality in our life, and he does it by the Holy Spirit. So in this parable, Jesus is saying, go and preach and realize that you're going to get resistance. And you're going to get short-term converts, and you're going to get double-minded people who can't let go of the system or the past. But you're also going to get real ones. But keep this in mind. You're going to have an enemy that's going to do everything he can to try and stop you. So now I'm concluding. There are a couple of things that I want us to consider. One, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? Where do you fit? My prayer is that you will choose, with the Spirit's help, to be the good ground. And if you realize that you have a lot of hard stuff, that the birds can come and take the seeds that God casts over your life, then ask God to plow your heart. And if you think that, really, I've got rocky soil underneath a soft, superficial exterior, I said at the 9 o'clock service, a bit dangerous to describe people as having soft exteriors, isn't it? You know. But when it comes to the matter of the heart, we have a soft, superficial exterior, but then there's this hard rock underneath. Then you better ask God to plow a bit deeper. And if you're that weedy soil, you better ask God to clean you out so that you can receive all that God has for you. The first lesson in this parable is to look at your own life and see what kind of ground you are. And the second is this. The issue in the parable is not the ability of the sower. When you live and speak the things God has for you to say, you are being the sower. And it doesn't matter how good you are at it. Please don't wait until you get good at it, because you won't ever get good at it. You got to do it. Then you'll find that where you get better at scattering the seed and hitting the good soil. Then remember this, sometimes God plows up the stuff that doesn't receive the seed the first time. So don't give up. Sometimes in Palestine they'd scatter the seed, then they'd plow it under. Sometimes you've got to throw the seed, and before the birds can land, the Holy Spirit plows it in. So be faithful. Hard soil, shallow soil, weedy soil may not always stay that way. But God's grace, he may do some working of that soil. So keep throwing the seed on the same field over and over and see if God won't break up the soil. Well, the lesson's very clear, isn't it? Check your own life and make sure you're following Jesus, sowing the seed. Lord Jesus, we hear this parable, and we hear that you give it for our encouragement to say, look, there are these realities out there. Lord, help us to check on the reality of our own hearts, our own lives, our own minds. How well disposed are we towards your truth, to receiving your gospel? Lord, if we're hard, or we've got a rock pan, or whether we're weedy, we just pray that you plow deep and deeper still. And keep working our lives so that the seed of your gospel would be planted and grow and produce the harvest. And help us to be faithful in telling and spreading and casting the seed of your truth, that lives would be touched and transformed. That you, Holy Spirit, may work in the life of people. Lord, we pray for those whom we know, who do not know you yet. We pray, whatever the condition of their heart is, that you plow the ground of their heart, their life, so that when the word is spoken, it may find space and grow and produce the harvest for your kingdom. So thank you, Jesus, for willing to tell these stories. Help us to grasp their significance. In Jesus' name, amen.